All right. Well, we're going to jump into what I like to call a standalone message. One of the things that when I really came here early on, you know, people asked me, said, hey, you know, Aaron, or they called me pastor, they said, what kind of messages do you like to do, or how do you handle, you know, like a Sunday morning or whatever? Do you like to do certain types, or you do series or whatever? And I said, you know, here's what I typically do. I enjoy doing series because I can kind of focus in on one topic or one thing that I feel like the Lord has kind of laid on my heart for that season or that time in the calendar or the history of our church. But I've always had the opinion that if something comes up, we can hit the pause button and kind of stop for a minute and really focus in on something where I feel like the Lord is saying, I want you to focus in on this today. This is one of those days, and I always call them kind of standalone messages because they do kind of stand alone. They're not going to be part of a series. They're just going to be a one Sunday kind of a thing that I feel like the Lord wants us to focus in on. So next week, we will finish up the Vine and the Fruit series, and then we have a new series that will be starting up in June, moving us into the summer. But this morning, it is Pentecost Sunday. It is an important Sunday in the church calendar. Maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't. If you don't, it's okay. We're going to kind of look at it together. We're going to break this down a little bit. But on Pentecost Sunday is basically, we've talked about this before, but just in case you don't remember, Pentecost can be kind of a scary word for certain people because of kind of sometimes how Pentecost has been wrapped up or how it's been presented in your life or in your world. But here's the deal. Pentecost really just means the idea of 50. And so basically, Pentecost takes place 50 days after the Sabbath during Passover. And so obviously on that Sunday of Passover, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead and that he basically conquered death, hell, and the grave on that day. We celebrate that day on Easter. So in case you didn't know, this Sunday, today, is actually 50 days from Easter, which I don't know about you, but that kind of like blows my mind that Easter is already 50 days away. But we are here, and basically, as we kind of look at this together, we need to understand kind of the timeline that we're going to be looking at. But the title of our series, or the, not the series, of our standalone message this morning is quite simple. It's, what does this mean? What does this mean? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for Pentecost Sunday and what it represents and what it means. And Jesus, I pray that today, that this would not just be a day on the calendar, that this would be a day that you help us to once again understand more of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that for those that in this moment may be having a little trepidation, maybe having a little like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this, that God, that you'd bring them peace. That God, as we look at these things together, that God, that you would just express who you are, who the Holy Spirit is, and that, Father, we would fall in love more and more and more with the Holy Spirit. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Pentecost Sunday is a special day, but again, it's the idea of 50. And so I want to kind of take us back a little bit and help us to remember kind of the timeline of kind of what has taken place in this basically 50 days in between where we see Jesus's basically resurrection and where we see the day of Pentecost that we see in Acts chapter 2. So Jesus has risen from the dead. Scripture tells us that Jesus for 40 days begins to walk around and teach, and we have different stories that talk about, you know, Jesus and Thomas and Jesus and the disciples when they go fishing at the sea and all these sort of things. And after 40 days, on the 40th day, Jesus ascends into heaven. Before he does, he does a couple of things. He expresses kind of the marching orders for the disciples. He tells them a couple things. First, he tells them he wants you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But he also wants them to be also ready to then go, and we see the Great Commission take place in Matthew and Mark during this time. The idea of to go out and to be make disciples and to really begin to share the message of Jesus and the good news with those people. So on the 40th day after Jesus' resurrection, he ascends into heaven. He promises them, and this is important that we remember this. He promises them at the end of Matthew and in the Great Commission that I will always be with you. Now, that's an interesting comment. It's an interesting thing because he says, I will be with you till the end of the age. And then guess what he does? He leaves. He ascends. Like, wait a minute, Jesus, what are you talking about? What do you mean you'll always be with us? Well, 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, that comes true. In his Holy Spirit, the gift of his Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is given out. And so basically on that day, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, we see when that day had fully come, these 120 believers were in this upper room together, and the Holy Spirit comes, and there's wind, and there's fire, and there's languages that are spoken, some known and some unknown. And there's a powerful expression of the Holy Spirit. And it's an amazing thing. And here's what you need to catch about this. Here's sometimes what we forget about this idea of Pentecost. It didn't stay in the upper room. You see, if the move of the Holy Spirit is confined to a room or a place, listen, hear me here, I'm going to doubt that's a genuine move of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has always come to, and I'm going to get into this later, but to equip us to do many, many things. But one of them is to get out of the four walls of our church and begin to make those disciples and to move with power and authority in those things. And so, man, you know what happens? This move of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this amazing expression of the Holy Spirit spills out of an upper room into the streets. And all sorts of people are there. You see, they're there for the day of Pentecost. They're there for the feast that takes place during that time. And so they're there, and they're all Jews from all over the world in a lot of ways, or the known world at the time. So they spoke different languages and all these things. So all these people come rushing out. And man, they are excited. The Holy Spirit has fallen, and they are. It's just an amazing, amazing time. And they begin to kind of like, what is going on? Like, this is different. What's taking place here? And here's the deal. That's kind of where we're at when we turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verse number 12. We're going to look at it together because honestly, this is pretty clear where the title of the message came from. But in Acts 2, chapter 12, it says this. It says, amazed and perplexed. These aren't the people that have experienced the gift of the Holy Spirit. These are the people that are out in the street. They're amazed. They're perplexed. Like, what is going on? And they say to one another, what does this mean? And here's the thing. I think for 2,000 plus years, in the church and out of the church, we've asked that question. What does this really mean? And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times, we've answered this question wrong. We've made it about things that really may be a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily the purpose of the Holy Spirit, okay? And here, listen, like I said, I know that, you know, for a lot of people, we talk about God the Father, that's fine. Talk about Jesus, oh yeah, all about that. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, he is somewhat kind of forgotten. He's somewhat kind of mysterious. We don't always know enough about him. And this morning, what I really want us to do in a weird way, and maybe you say, well, Aaron, I've known the Holy Spirit for 50 years. That's great. That's awesome. Maybe when you hear the Holy Spirit, you're not quite sure what that means. In a lot of ways this morning, I want to introduce you again to the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand who he is, the person of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand the purposes of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand a little bit deeper on Pentecost Sunday, why Pentecost still matters today. And in your life and in my life. So this morning, that's what we're going to look at. And here's the deal. We see the Holy Spirit. Maybe you knew this. Maybe you didn't. We see him all the way at the beginning. The first view or when we're told about the Holy Spirit actually takes place. And some people don't know this. All the way back in Genesis. In fact, in Genesis 1:2, the Holy Spirit makes his appearance. Look what it says. It says, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. If you look at the creation story, it's awesome. Even from the very beginning, you see the idea and the concept of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. And so we see the Holy Spirit, he's kind of hovering over the waters. And we see him all throughout the Old Testament in many, many different places. And I could take you to Ezekiel. I could take you to other places where we can look at that. But just know that the Holy Spirit is not just appears in basically when Jesus talks about him in John. He doesn't just appear on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. He's there from the beginning. He's there with us from the beginning. And so he starts there. But here's the deal. We need to understand a little bit deeper what the Holy Spirit is, the person of the Holy Spirit. But before we do that, I want to look at some words. You know, I like words. I like to understand what the original words mean. And so because we see the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, which is Hebrew, and we see him written about in the New Testament, which is Greek, we're going to look at both words because they both, in fact, mean basically the same thing. This is in your notes, but in the Old Testament, Hebrew, the Old Testament Hebrew, spirit is translated from the word ruach. And in the New Testament Greek, it is translated as the word pneuma. So you have ruach and pneuma. Both words mean basically the same thing, a blast of breath, wind, or spirit. So when we see that word, when you see the word spirit, especially obviously when you see that word with a capital S, we're seeing this idea and this concept of this blast of wind and spirit and all these sort of things. And you go, yeah, but is it really that important? Like, is it, kind of the Holy Spirit's kind of, you know, like, let's be honest, like God's kind of like one and Jesus is like kind of one. And but the Spirit's kind of like 1B or 1A. You know, that's not how Jesus saw the Holy Spirit at all. Like, we kind of have missed the boat a little bit on this. And Jesus, as we understand the Holy Spirit, wants us to get that. In fact, look what he says in John 16. In John 16, Jesus is speaking here, and he speaks about the Holy Spirit, and he's communicating some very hard truths to his disciples. But listen to what he says. He says, "But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away." It's for your good. Jesus has communicated to them that he's leaving. He's going to give his life, and then he's going to eventually ascend up in heaven like we just talked about earlier in the message. He says, I'm going away. But listen to what he says. Unless I go away, the advocate, capital, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now listen to what Jesus is saying here. The words here matter. It's not for Jesus' benefit. It's for our benefit. Jesus has communicated something very important that we get here. Jesus is basically saying, it's better for you that I leave. Now, that may be hard for us to understand and hard for us to swallow, but I want you to put your mind and in your heart and your, you know, basically in the idea or in the mind of the disciples who have just heard Jesus say this. Okay? Because at this point, first of all, the disciples don't really understand Jesus' mission. They don't really understand what he's going to be doing. They've heard, but they haven't quite comprehended yet. And just think about what he's experienced, what a disciple at this point has experienced. Better for us? Jesus, I've seen you make blind people see. Jesus, I've seen you take people that had illnesses for years and heal them with a word. I've seen you speak to dead things, and dead things have come alive again. You know what, Jesus? I think things are pretty good. I think things are all right. And Jesus says, no, it's better. And somehow we've forgotten that, I think, because let's be honest, the Holy Spirit is a little harder to get our heads around. The Holy Spirit is a little bit more of a mystery. We don't have as much in Scripture about the Holy Spirit as we do God the Father and God the Son. But listen, one of the things that we can't do is make the mistake that he isn't important, that Jesus' words here are basically saying, it's very good. It's very good. And another scripture says, listen, he's speaking again to his disciples. In that, Jesus is speaking to us. He says, you're going to do greater things than me. Whoa. How do we see that? The advocate's coming. The advocate's coming. when Jesus said to his disciples, listen, I will be with you always. It's through the Holy Spirit. And all of that is important. We need to get that. And so in that, we need to understand a little bit more about this third person of the Trinity. So together, to do that this morning, we're going to look at some symbols that help us understand the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, we see this out through Scripture several times where the Holy Spirit comes and kind of reveals a little bit about who He is through the symbol in which He comes to us. And we're going to look at these and break these down this morning because each of these give us a little bit of characteristics of the Holy Spirit that we need to understand. The first one we're going to look at is the idea of wind. Wind, we see that obviously even in the meaning of the word that we see translated, but wind. But look with me, Acts 2. In Acts 2, 1 through 2, it says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind, and it's important where it comes from, it came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Can you imagine that for a second? The words here matter. You know, it's not a slight breeze. It's a violent wind that blows through this house, and it comes from heaven. It comes from heaven. So you go, okay, Aaron, so what does that mean? How can we understand a little bit more about the Holy Spirit through the idea of the Holy Spirit showing up kind of as a wind? This is kind of going to be the pattern for this section of the message, and here it is. The symbol of wind represents the powerful but unseen forces of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is powerful. It is strong. But at the same time, we don't always see it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can be unseen, but its power, His power is still strong. His power is still mighty. His power can still change hearts and change lives in so many different ways. But it's hard sometimes to kind of know where the wind's coming from or where the wind blows or how the wind comes from. In fact, Jesus even kind of mentions that in the Gospels. He says, you don't know where from the wind comes or where the wind blows, but there's still a power there. Some of you know this, some of you don't. I grew up in the Midwest, right close, not really totally in it, but just kind of on like the fringes of Tornado Alley. I understand the power of the wind. I've talked to certain individuals who have been moved from other areas of our country where, you know what, they've experienced the power of the wind. The Holy Spirit is a powerful agent. And we can allow that power to transform us, and we can be equipped with that power to be used by God to transform situations and others. So we see Him in the wind. Next, the Scripture talks about water. Water. Look at John 7. In John 7, 38 through 39, this is what Jesus says. He says, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Now, here's what's interesting, okay? Here's what's interesting. Jesus here has been speaking in verse 38. In verse 39, the writer, John, kind of puts in a little side note. He wants you to understand what Jesus has said. Quotations here have stopped of Jesus. Now, John is basically telling us what Jesus meant when he said this. And here's the deal. Sometimes we stop at verse 38. We don't want to stop at verse 38 because 39 explains a little bit deeper what Jesus is speaking when he talks about these living waters flowing from within us. He says, by this he means the Spirit, whom those who believed in him would where? Later receive. They haven't received this yet. When Jesus is speaking these words, this is coming later. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So we see him in this idea of water. The symbol of water represents the life-sustaining refreshment of the Holy Spirit. I love that. I don't know if you've ever been in a time spiritually where you've just been spiritually dry. And I love when the Holy Spirit comes in and just refreshes our hearts. He refreshes our minds. He refreshes our bodies. And it's not a trickle. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't come. I love the words that Jesus uses here. He doesn't say a little trickle of the Holy Spirit. He says the water is going to flow from within you. Like, listen, I don't know if you've been, you know, like you know, seen water, you know, but I like in Colorado, where when you come down and maybe you're in the mountains and you got that runoff, that snow runoff coming down, and it's not a trickle, is it? Now, maybe it's a trickle in August, but in April, it's not a trickle. It's flowing, and it's powerful. And I know one thing. I don't, you know, like, you ever put your foot in something like that? It's cold. And there's nothing better. Maybe you've been on a long hike, and you take off your shoes and your socks, and you go down, you put your feet in that nice, cool water. It just refreshes you. Holy Spirit is like that. He's like that. He wants to do that in our lives. But not only is he wind, not only is he water, but he's also fire. He's fire. Look at Matthew 3. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist is speaking here. He's speaking about what he is doing and what Jesus is going to do. And listen to what he says. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And also look at Acts 2. Once again, on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. The Spirit of fire represents the purifying force of the Holy Spirit. It's that thing that comes and burns away the stuff that doesn't belong there. And here's what's great about purifying fire. It doesn't just burn away the dross. It doesn't just burn away the impurities. It actually makes what is there more pure. See, the fire is a very important part of this. Because I don't know about you, but I know there are things in my life that I need to have burnt away. But I also need things in my life to be made more pure. The Holy Spirit, the fire does that. And he represents that in our lives. We'll see a little bit later in the message how he will do that and how important that is. Not only that, not only fire, but also we see it in oil. Oil is very important through Scripture. Oil is usually a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But one specific instance where we see this is in Acts 10. Acts 10, Peter is speaking here to Cornelius at his house. He's witnessing. He's telling people about Jesus, basically. And he says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. The symbol of the oil represents the consecration for service of the Holy Spirit. I could have put this in here, but my notes were getting a little long. But in Luke, Jesus is getting ready. In Luke 4, he's proclaiming who he is. And he quotes some scripture from Isaiah. And he says, the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news, to bring healing and freedom to the captive, anointed him. This idea of anointing is this idea that God wants to anoint us to be used by him, to make a difference in our heart, in our homes and in our world for him. The Holy Spirit comes in that idea of oil. The fifth and final one is the idea that many of us do know and recognize is the idea of the Holy Spirit coming as a dove. We know, many of us know this story, Matthew 3. Jesus has become, just gotten baptized by John in Matthew 3:16. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. The symbol of the dove represents the gentleness and peace of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's sometimes we think about the Holy Spirit and the power, and we think about the fire, and we think about oil and all these things, but that dove, that peace, that gentleness, we've just been talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He also comes in peace and gentleness in our heart and our lives. We love that. We can see the Holy Spirit in these symbols. And so when we think about the Holy Spirit, we think about his personality or maybe his characteristics, we see them in some of these symbols. So that's great. It's important that we know that. It's important that we know who the Holy Spirit is. But more than that, now we want to be able to understand, what does this really mean? We kind of go back again to those people in Acts where they say, what does this mean? Well, okay, that's great. I'm glad that we have the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that there's the Trinity. I'm glad that we have Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. But so what? What does that mean? Well, this morning what I want to close with is this idea of, what does it look like to experience and live a practical Pentecost? A practical Pentecost. Because here's the deal. You know, I talked about earlier where Pentecost sometimes is wrapped in a very difficult package, where sometimes it almost becomes scary or forced. I want us to understand how the Holy Spirit is, yes, He moves in those ways, sometimes in ways we don't always understand. But also there's a practical side. There's a side that really we can use every single day of our lives if we'll let Him. And here's what I want to do this morning. Here, I'm going to break this down before we get into it. I'm going to give you basically six different things that I believe are more like the purposes of the Holy Spirit. And then in that, I'm going to give you a very, very, very short prayer to pray for those things in your life. So we're going to hit all in one the purposes and also the application of what that looks like practically in our life every single day. Because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring these things to you every day, every single day. Number one, the Holy Spirit gives power. The Holy Spirit gives power. Look at Acts 1:8. Jesus is speaking, but you will receive power. Power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you. And listen to what the Holy Spirit's power is there for. It's there for many reasons, but for one in particular, because Jesus takes the time to mention it. Power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and all to the ends of the earth. That power that God has given us is given to us to complete the mission of the Great Commission. You see, what I love is Jesus doesn't look at us and say, listen, I want you to go be my witnesses. Have fun. Good luck. See you later. He says, I want you to go be my witnesses. I will be with you always through the Holy Spirit, and I will give you power to accomplish the mission that I have given you. I love that about Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but I've experienced people in my life where they say, go do this. Good luck. And depending on what it is, I can be in a lot of trouble. If somebody says to me, listen, this car is broken. The engine is not running correctly. Fix it. See ya. Guess what? You could give me 3 days. You could give me 3 hours. You could give me 3 years. If you left it to me, no matter whenever you came back, guess what you would still have? A paperweight. Because I couldn't get that car going. But I know there are some of you in this group. I could call you out. I'm not going to do that because I don't want other people to call you out when their car breaks down. And you came to me and said, Aaron, I want you to fix this car. And I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to give you the tools you need. I'm going to give you the wisdom you need. I'm going to give you the direction you need. And you know what? We will do this together. You know what happened? We get that car running. The problem is, some of us want to witness, some of us want to share, but we think we can do it on our own. When Jesus says, no, I've given you the power of the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses. And that's an amazing power. That's a power to know that God will speak through you. That's a power to know that when you don't know what to say, the Spirit will speak. It's massive. It's important. So the prayer that we pray for that power to be imparted to us is simple. Holy Spirit, empower me. Empower me. Whatever my strength is not going to be enough. Holy Spirit, I need you to empower me to be that witness, to be that light, to be salt to the world that desperately needs it. Number two, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our helper. John 14, 26 says this, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." He's our helper. I love that. I love that. Because I don't know about you. I need some help. I need some help bad. Listen, if you think I got this all figured out, you're crazy. I'm sorry. Maybe I've just ruined and just burst your bubble. And you thought, well, you know, pastor knows exactly what he's going to do the next 3 years. He's got it all laid out. I got some ideas, but you know what? I don't know. I'm sorry. But I have a helper who's going to help me. And I desperately need his help. I mean, I'll take you into a strange place. I'll take you into my brain, and usually late at night. And I'm sitting there, and I'll sit there, and I'll just go, God, what am I doing? I'm supposed to pastor these people? And I don't mean these people as a negative. I mean like any people. Like, how am I going to do this? I can't do this without him. I don't want to do it without him. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit is our helper, that I can go to him and say basically the prayer that is mentioned in our notes. Help me. Help me. Because I can't do it alone. And here's the thing. Neither can you. And God in his infinite knowledge and his infinite wisdom and his infinite love and his infinite care knew that and sent the Holy Spirit as our helper. So listen, if you need help, it's okay. If you need help, the Holy Spirit wants to be that helper to you. Next, we're going to use the same verse here, John 14, 26. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Jesus mentioned it as he's talking about this helper, obviously. He says, but the helper of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Listen, I'm just, you know, just so you know, we've had some resumes come in recently for our youth pastor position. It's been exciting, and I've been talking with people and doing some interviews and all those sort of things, and talked to a lot of great young people and people from really all over the country, and it's been exciting. But one of the things that sometimes you talk about when you're doing a interview, and it kind of has become cliche, and some of you know exactly where I'm going, but you say, are you teachable? Are they teachable? Like sometimes I'll talk to references, like, are they teachable? And you know what? It's kind of become one of these things that we just kind of say, oh, of course I'm teachable, but are you really teachable? Are you really willing to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you something? Are you really willing to allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth in your remembrance what Jesus has said? You see, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. And part of our growth process, part of our maturing process, is learning how to be taught by the Holy Spirit. Okay? He wants to teach us the prayer, quite simple. And if you haven't noticed, these are pretty simple. Teach me. Teach me, Holy Spirit. Teach me. Bring those things to my remembrance. Number four, the Holy Spirit testifies. The Holy Spirit testifies. John 15, 26 through 27, Jesus says, when the advocate comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. He will testify about me. Look at verse 27, though. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit testifies and always points us to Jesus. Okay? Here's the deal. We're just going to be honest. There's a lot of times, there's a lot of kooky stuff that goes around and you're told, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. You know, one way you can find out real quick, who's he testifying to? Who's he testifying about? If you're seeing that it's basically a testimony of a human being, throw it in the garbage. Because the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. The Holy Spirit points you not to a denomination, not to an experience, not to a person, but to Jesus, the person of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit testifies in that. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. We don't just have verse 26. We have verse 27 where Jesus says, listen, if the Holy Spirit's going to testify about me, guess what our job is to do? Testify about Jesus too. When we talk about people, we talk about ministering to people and witnessing to people. Listen, we talk about Jesus. We talk about what Jesus has done in us and what he wants to do through us. But it's all about him. The prayer is simple. Jesus, Holy Spirit, use me. Use me. You've given me power. You're going to help me. You're teaching me. If you notice, these are all working together because the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. Now use me. Use me to make an impact in my world. Number five, the Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit is our guide. Look at John 16, 13. It says this, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. Holy Spirit's our guide. Holy Spirit, have you ever hired a guide? I don't know about you, but I kind of enjoy, I think his name is, I know this maybe aged me a little bit and actually probably make you feel like I'm kind of strange. Not that that hasn't happened already. But I have you ever seen, you know what Rick Stevens is? You know who Rick Stevens is? I think he was like on PBS when I was a kid. Maybe he's still doing it. But he would go and somebody smile. Okay, good. Somebody at least knows what I'm talking about. I think his name was Rick Stevens. And he travels all around the world and he makes you very jealous. And now we're going to Italy. And now we're going to see this place. And now we're going to do all these things. And he goes and he goes to the restaurants and has the food and he sees all the awesome stuff. And you know what I always find about Rick Stevens? He has a guide. If he's going to Germany, he has a German guide. If he's going to Italy, he has an Italian guide. And there's somebody that speaks the language, knows the area, and all these sort of things. Listen, the Holy Spirit is our guide. It would be foolish of you and me to have, now listen, like some of you may be like, well, I've gone to Europe and we didn't hire a guide. And that's fine. But if somebody basically walked up to you and said, hey, listen, free of charge, I will hang out with you today and I will take you to the best restaurants in this city. I'll take you to the places that nobody else sees that's so cool and you can experience all these things. I'll do it for free out of the goodness of my heart. You'd be crazy not to accept that. But so many of us were walking around in a world in darkness. And the Holy Spirit is like, I will guide you. I will help you. I will help you move. And we go, yeah, good. You know what that, if Rick Stevens did this all by himself, he probably could end up in some pretty negative, bad places because he doesn't know where to go. It's why he has a guide. The Holy Spirit wants to be that guide. He wants to guide you into all truth. He wants to take you by the hand and lead you. That prayer, again, simply this, lead me. Lead me, God. Lead me through your Holy Spirit. And the final one, number six. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. Look at John 16, 8. It says, when he comes, the Holy Spirit, now Jesus is speaking about the Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, Here's what I know for some of you has just happened. You have taken what I've said, you have put on some glasses that you have worn for a very long time when it comes to this topic, and you have heard, even though you've heard the word conviction, you are thinking about the concept of condemnation. Scripture is very clear on this, okay? Those who are in Christ Jesus, there therefore is now no condemnation. But you know what there is? Conviction. And if you aren't thankful for that, you don't understand what conviction really is. So listen, don't confuse the two. I have a very simple way I understand this concept for me, okay? And I hope it can help you. Conviction is something that God uses to draw us closer to Him. Condemnation is something the enemy uses to push us further away from God. That's how you know. Because conviction isn't there to destroy you. It isn't there to beat you down. It is there to realign you back to where God has you to be. Okay? What kind of a guide would the Holy Spirit be is if you were walking towards a cliff to fall to your death, He said nothing. That's not conviction. That's not condemnation, folks. That's a God who loves us and says, no, no, no. One of the things about our world that breaks my heart so much is because of the thoughts and the lies of the enemy. We have tried to remove truth. And listen, if you don't have a standard of truth, then how can you ever have conviction? And if you can't have conviction, how are you going to keep people from walking off the cliff? It's almost like there's an enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But we have a Father and a Jesus and a Holy Spirit that wants to come and give us life. And sometimes to have that life, the Holy Spirit says, stop, wait, do not go forward. Do not confuse the two. And so with that mindset, our prayer, as hard as it is sometimes to pray, is simply this: Holy Spirit, convict me. Convict me. And I know this is a hard concept to always understand. And so I want to also take us to the Psalms. Psalms 139. Listen to what it says all the way back in the Old Testament. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. That's what conviction really is. It's Him coming and looking inside of us and going, is there anything there that is in conflict with God's word? Is there anything there that is in conflict with the way that God has called us to go? And let's remember that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit once again points back to Jesus. It's almost like there's a creator who's got it all figured out and can make all the puzzle pieces fit. Search me. Search me. Know my heart. See if there's anything there, God, that needs to be adjusted. See if there's anything there that needs to be rearranged so that I can become more in line with you. Some of the most mature believers I have ever been around are the people that pretty much daily, if almost not hourly, pray something like this. Because here's what can happen. I'm gonna try to stay in frame here, Fred. But of course, Linda brought her piano, so I'm teasing. No big deal. Okay. Here's typically what happens when it comes to alignment in our lives with Jesus. We begin to move, and maybe Jesus is saying, okay, you know, I want you to follow this path and walk down the steps. And obviously you need to imagine this being a lot greater, because of the illustration, but as we walk, as we remain in line, we follow that line, the Holy Spirit guides us, and we're getting to where we want to go. And here's the deal, as we're walking, we're constantly asking the Holy Spirit, am I on the right path? Am I going the right way? Am I aligned with the Holy Spirit? Am I aligned with God's Word? Am I aligned with these things? Because here's the deal. If we ask those questions almost with every step, if we start to do this and the answer is no, we can revert back and continue on. You see? And we can get to where God wants us to go. When we don't ask that question, when we're afraid of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, here's what happens. We tend to just kind of start going this way. There's no course correction. We kind of get out of, and we get out of the frame, obviously, and who cares? I'm not much to look at anyway. And all of a sudden, we get way over here, and then we stop all of a sudden, and we go, wait a minute, how'd I get over here? When God says, I want you here. And here's what I've learned in my life. It's much, much more difficult to course correct here than to course correct here. That's what the conviction of the Holy Spirit does. It gets us back in line. It gets us back in line because our Father loves us. And He uses the Holy Spirit to bring that conviction to our heart and to our life. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Let's close. On Pentecost Sunday, it can be, it's a very important day. And here's the thing, like I'm not blaming anybody at all for not knowing when Pentecost Sunday is. I know that as I was growing up, I didn't even really know there was a Pentecost Sunday. I went to college and found out about it. And not every Pentecost Sunday do I stop and feel like I need to have a standalone message on the Holy Spirit. There's been times we haven't, and there's been other times where we have. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. But this year, this Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit has led you and me to this place. He has led us to a place where we need to once again allow the Holy Spirit to fulfill the purposes of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. You see, I have a feeling, because I know it in my life as well, that when it comes to some of these prayers and some of these purposes of the Holy Spirit, we desperately need Him right now. Maybe we've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit and we're good there. But we really need the Holy Spirit to be our guide right now. We kind of feel like we've been wandering around a little bit in the dark, and the Holy Spirit says, let me guide you. Let me lead you. Let me help you. You see, I understand that the Holy Spirit for some people is kind of a harder pill to swallow. I get that. But the Holy Spirit is good. The Holy Spirit is needed. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, it's better that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and the Holy Spirit is with us. And I got a feeling Jesus knows what He's talking about. And for some of us, whether it be the help or the power or the teacher or whatever it might be, we've kind of turned the Trinity, instead of a triangle to an extent, into two lines. And I believe very strongly that the Holy Spirit wants to be known, and He wants to allow, and He wants us to allow Him to accomplish the purposes for which He was sent. So listen, I don't know your heart, but the Spirit does. I don't know what purpose you may be struggling with, but listen, here's what's beautiful about this message. I just gave you what to pray. And it wasn't 10 sentences. It was just, empower me. Teach me, Holy Spirit. Convict me, Holy Spirit. So we're going to pray together, and listen, don't waste this moment. And whatever the Holy Spirit, whatever you need right now, whatever purpose you need, I want you to pray it. And if that's two sentences, if that's two words, that's fine. Holy Spirit knows your heart. But it matters to speak it. It matters to pray it. It matters to call out. Not necessarily because God can't hear you, but so that you can hear you. Because there's a power in acknowledging our need and then seeing the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit meeting those needs in our hearts. So whatever your need is, whatever purpose that you need the Holy Spirit in this moment and in this time, will you call out to Him? Will you pray to Him as I pray with you and for you, so that the Holy Spirit on this day that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, in a lot of ways, the birth of the church, He can meet those needs again in your heart and your life. Pray with me. Father, we come to You right now. And God, we're so thankful. We're so thankful that You are three in one. And yes, sometimes that is a very difficult concept to understand. But Father, I am so thankful for You. I am so thankful for Your Son. I am so thankful for Your Holy Spirit. Each of You work in harmony together and do amazing, incredible things in our hearts and in our lives. But this morning, Father, God, as You have sent Your Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we pray to You in this moment and say, will You empower me if that's what I need? Will You help me if that's what I need? Will You teach me if that's what I need? Will You help me to testify if that's what I need and use me? God, Father, whatever it is, Holy Spirit, will You just come and just be strong in that area of our lives? We welcome You here. We welcome You to come and do what You can do. Only You can do. Holy Spirit, thank You. Thank You for loving us that much. That You desire to fulfill whatever we need. And now we thank You. We thank You for that. Meet those needs. We love You and we thank You. You're so good. And we thank You for this special day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. So listen. Couple things before you go. Remember, baptism stuff, sign up, okay? If you want to get baptized, again, maybe for the first time, maybe for the second time, maybe for the fifth time, it's up to you. We'll baptize you and celebrate with you. Also remember, community groups this weekend and all the way in September, our marriage conference together. Have a great week. I love you. We'll talk to you soon.